tonight is not going to be a Valentine's Day sermon, but maybe it'll help you manage relationships. And I don't mean relationships like boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm just saying relationships in general in your life.
Esta noche no tenemos un sermón de San Valentín, pero sí vamos a hablar de las relaciones y ojalá esto te pueda ayudar en cualquier relación en la que tú estés.
And so I just want to get the title of the sermon out of the way early.
Entonces quiero decir el título del sermón temprano.
Tonight's sermon title is Don't Be Toxic.
El título del sermón es No Seas Tóxico.
Don't be toxic. Don't be a toxic friend. Don't be a toxic boyfriend or girlfriend.
No seas un amigo, un novio, una novia tóxico, tóxica.
Don't be a toxic brother, sister.
No seas un hermano, una hermana tóxica, tóxico.
Hey, and if you're one of the few parents in this room, don't be a toxic parent.
Si eres uno de los padres aquí en el cuarto, no seas un padre tóxico.
And so tonight we're going to focus on one of the most toxic people in the Bible.
Y esta noche vamos a enfocarnos en una de las personas más tóxicas en la Biblia.
Now this story is about the story of King Saul.
Esta historia es sobre la historia del rey Saúl.
Now the reason why I decided to talk about King Saul.
La razón por qué decidí hablar sobre el rey Saúl.
It's because like I spoke at the beginning of the year,
es porque como hablé al principio del año,
that I think 2024 is going to be your blessings for you guys and refresh. It's going to be a year of provision.
Creo que el 2024 será un año de bendición, de provisión para ustedes.
And Saul was a man that was blessed. God provided for him. God elevated him to be king of Israel.
Y Saúl era un hombre bendecido. Dios lo bendició para ser el rey de Israel.
However, because he didn't manage that blessing well,
pero como él no pudo manejar esa bendición bien,
he became this very toxic and insecure person.
Se convirtió en una persona muy tóxica y muy insegura.
And I'm going to give you a heads up right now.
Y voy a decirles ahora,
we are going to read a little bit more scripture than normal.
Vamos a leer un poco más de escritura que lo normal.
But I'm not apologizing for it. We are in church. We're going to read God's word.
Pero no voy a pedir perdón por ello, estamos en la iglesia y vamos a leer la palabra de Dios.
So again, Saul, as we read,
Saúl, mientras leemos,
is going to be anointed as king of Israel.
Va a ser ungido como el rey de Israel.
So this is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 9.
Y esto es lo que la Biblia dice en 1 Samuel capítulo 9.
A lot of scripture, but stay with me.
Pero manténganse conmigo.
There was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. Then after this, Saul lost 3 donkeys, and he goes into the fields looking for these donkeys, and he runs into the prophet Samuel. And this is what Samuel says to him. And don't worry about those donkeys that you lost 3 days ago. They have been found. I am here to tell you, Saul, that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. And Saul replied, but I am only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel. My family is the least important of all the families in that tribe. Why are you talking to me like this? Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it all over Saul's head. He kissed Saul, pause, and said, I'm doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, Samuel says to Saul. You will be changed into a different person. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you, Saul. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. This is a public declaration now. But when they looked for him, and they were about to anoint him king, he had disappeared. For they asked the Lord, Where is he? Where's Saul? And the Lord replied, he's hiding among the baggage. So they went and found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as king. No one in all of Israel is like him. Pretty good start for Saul, right? Starts out pretty good. He's a handsome guy. He's chosen and anointed as king. A lot of high hopes for Saul. Fast forward 5 chapters. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my commandments. So what happened between those first 5 chapters that we didn't read is what we're going to talk about tonight.
Vamos a leer la historia de Saúl, Primera de Samuel, capítulo 9, comenzamos. Había un hombre rico e influyente llamado Cis, de la tribu de Benjamín. Su hijo Saúl era el hombre más apuesto en Israel, era tan alto que los demás apenas lo llegaban a los hombros. Y aquí él perdió unos burros, entonces ahora los encuentra y dice: y no te preocupes por esos burros que se perdieron hace 3 días, porque ya los encontraron. Además, estoy aquí para decirte que tú y tu familia son el centro de todas las esperanzas de Israel. Saúl respondió: pero solo hay de la tribu de Benjamín, la más pequeña de Israel, y mi familia es la menos importante de todas las familias de la tribu. ¿Por qué me habla usted de esa manera? Entonces Samuel tomó un frasco de aceite de oliva y lo derramó sobre la cabeza de Saúl. Besó a Saúl y dijo: hago esto porque el Señor te ha designado para que gobiernes a Israel. Su posesión será más preciada. En este momento el Espíritu del Señor vendrá poderosamente sobre ti y profetizarás con ellos. Serás transformado en una persona diferente. Después de que sucedan estas señales, haz lo que debe hacerse, porque Dios está contigo. Mientras Saúl se daba vuelta para irse, Dios le dio un nuevo corazón y todas las señales de Samuel se cumplieron en ese día. Finalmente, de entre ellos fue escogido Saúl, hijo de Cis, pero cuando los buscaron había desaparecido. Entonces le preguntaron al Señor: ¿dónde está? Y el Señor le contestó: está escondido entre el equipaje. Así que lo encontraron y lo sacaron. Era tan alto que los demás que apenas le llegaban al hombro. Luego Samuel dijo a todo el pueblo: este es el hombre que el Señor ha escogido como su rey. No hay nadie más como él en todo Israel. Aquí las cosas se parecen muy bien para Saúl, pero luego nos brincamos 5 capítulos y dice: luego el Señor le dijo a Samuel: lamento haber hecho a Saúl rey, porque no me ha sido leal y se ha negado a obedecer mi mandato.
So 18 months
18 meses
have passed since Saul was anointed, and then God says, I'm sorry I ever made Saul king. 18 months have gone by.
18 meses han pasado entre la vez que Dios ungió, Samuel ungió a Saúl para ser rey, y entre que Dios diga, lamento haber hecho Saúl rey.
So what we're going to talk about tonight is how Saul became so toxic in those 18 months.
Vamos a hablar de cómo Saúl se hizo tan tóxico en esos 18 meses.
That God goes, I regret ever promoting him to king.
Que Dios dice, lamento haberlo hecho rey.
Let's go ahead and pray.
Vamos a orar.
God, help us not to be toxic. Amen.
Amen.
So as we read in the story,
así como leímos en la historia,
Saul has a lot going for him at the beginning of this story.
Saúl tenía muchas cosas buenas que estaban ahí para él en el principio de la historia.
The Bible says he's handsome.
La Biblia dice que era muy guapo.
Not just the best looking in his family, the best looking in the nation, like Mr. Israel, right? He's handsome.
No solamente el más atractivo en su familia, pero en todo Israel, él es señor Israel.
The Bible says he looks tall and he's strong, he's fit. He looks like a king.
La Biblia dice que era alto, tenía músculos, tenía buen cuerpo, se miraba como un rey.
But what happened between chapter 10 and chapter 15 that caused Saul to become so toxic, so manipulative, so messed up?
Pero ¿qué sucedió entre el capítulo 10 y el capítulo 15 que causó que Saúl sea tan malo, tan tóxico?
And in order to do this, we're going to take a look at some things.
Y para poder hacer esto, vamos a ver unas cuantas cosas.
In Saul.
En Saúl.
That are very obvious.
Que son muy obvias.
These traits are very obvious, they're very easy to see.
Estas características son muy obvias, muy fáciles de ver.
These traits are often associated with toxic people. Saul.
Estas características se asocian mucho con la gente tóxica, Saúl.
So number one.
Entonces, número uno.
Saul had a quick temper.
Saúl tenía un mal temperamento.
In between chapters 10 and 15, if you ever want to read it.
Entre los capítulos 1 y 15, si quieren leerlo.
You're going to find that Saul could not manage his emotions.
Van a ver que Saúl no puede manejar sus emociones.
Once Saul was anointed king, the first battle, the first military battle.
Ya que Saúl, cuando Saúl es rey, su primera batalla militar.
That he ever ordered, that he ever conducted, that ever led.
Que él ordenó, él guió.
Saul was fueled by anger. It wasn't by God. He didn't pray about it. He didn't ask the prophet about it. It was with anger that he decided to go into battle.
Saúl estaba lleno de enojo. Él decidió entrar a la batalla enojado.
And anger,
y el enojo,
I want to say this, is a good, it's a wonderful emotion.
Voy a decir esto, es una emoción buena.
anger informs you that an injustice has happened.
El enojo te informa que una injusticia ha sucedido.
Anger lets you know that some kind of boundary has been crossed, has been violated.
El enojo te hace saber que algún límite ha sido cruzada.
So anger in itself isn't a bad thing. It's something to help you, give you information about what you should do next.
El enojo no es necesariamente una cosa mala. Te da información para que tú puedas saber qué es lo que debes de hacer ahora.
It informs you that a wrong was done, that something happened, something was violated.
Te informa que un mal ha sucedido, que algo mal ha ocurrido.
But anger should never identify who you are as an angry person.
Pero el enojo nunca debe identificarte de quién tú eres, a quién tú eres.
If you're one of those people that's just itching for a fight, you're itching to get into it with the manager, you're just waiting for someone to, just any opportunity for you to go off on someone.
Si tú eres esa persona que nomás esperas para poder entrarte en una discusión,
you're just waiting,
con alguien, estás esperando.
Just waiting for your boyfriend, girlfriend to do something wrong, you can just lay into them, right, and just let them have it.
Esperando a que tu novio o tu novia haga algo para que tú puedas enojarte y decirles algo.
Anger should inform you that an injustice happened, but it never should be your identity.
El enojo debe informarte que una injusticia ha ocurrido, pero nunca debe de ser parte de tu identidad.
Number two.
Número dos.
Saul is impulsive.
Saúl es impulsivo.
Normally, if you have anger problems,
normalmente, si tú tienes problemas con el enojo,
it clouds your judgment, your ability to make good decisions.
Te ayuda a hacer buenas decisiones, te nubla tu cuánto tú juzgas.
And because Paul dealt with anger, it caused him to be very impulsive, make quick, rash decisions based on his emotions.
Y como Saúl estaba lleno de enojo, esto de, impulsivo, esto le ayudó para que y lo impulsó a poder tomar decisiones rápidas y malas.
If you read,
si tú lees,
the chapters in between that we just talked about,
los capítulos entre medio que acabamos de leer,
there's a time where Samuel, the prophet, tells Saul.
Hay un momento donde Samuel, el profeta Samuel, le dice a Saúl.
He goes, Saul, go up to the next city over and wait for me.
Le dice Saúl, ve a la ciudad vecina y espera por mí ahí.
When I get there, I'm going to bring the sacrifices and the offerings, and then we can sacrifice them to God together.
Cuando llegue ahí, yo voy a traer los sacrificios, los animales para el sacrificio y podemos sacrificar juntos a Dios.
So Saul goes to the city over and he waits.
Entonces Saúl va a esa ciudad vecina y él espera.
But because Saul is impulsive, he gets tired of waiting. Man, Samuel, it's been days now.
Pero como Saúl es impulsivo, Saúl dice, wow, ya han pasado días.
And Saul disobeys the prophet. He disobeys God's orders. And Saul sacrifices the stuff himself. He's like, fine, I'm going to do it myself then.
Saúl es impaciente, es impulsivo. Él no espera a Samuel, el profeta. Él desobedece las instrucciones de Dios y dice, ¿sabes qué? Voy a hacer estos sacrificios aquí yo solo.
And then as soon as Saul fires up the grill and sacrifices these animals,
y él a encender el altar y poder ofrecer esos animales,
in that God timing, that is exactly when Samuel rolls up.
Y en ese tiempo es exactamente cuando Samuel llega.
And he goes, Saul, what are you doing? I told you to wait for me.
Y Saúl dice, y Samuel dice, es por qué estás haciendo? Yo te dije que me esperaras.
Why did you start the altar, the sacrifice without? I told you I'd be here. I told you to wait for me.
¿Por qué comenzaste el altar sin mí? Yo te dije que me esperaras.
Which brings us to point number three.
Que nos va al tercer punto.
Saul is a blame shifter.
Saúl le pone la culpa a otros.
Saul's response to Samuel.
La respuesta de Saúl a Samuel.
Instead of taking responsibility, instead of taking ownership of his own mistakes.
En vez de tomar responsabilidad por sus propios errores.
Saul goes, well, you took too long. If you would have been here sooner, I would have obeyed. I would have waited for you. But you took too long. You said you'd be here in 2 days, and it was more than that.
Saúl dice, pues tomaste mucho tiempo. En vez de tú venir y rápido, en vez de él poder decir, ay, perdón, no. Él dijo, tú tomaste mucho tiempo y yo tuve que hacerlo.
First off, Samuel goes, I never gave you a time frame. I just said I'd be there eventually.
Samuel le dice, primeramente no te di un tiempo donde iba a llegar. Nomás dije que iba a llegar.
So don't blame this on me. Don't blame this like I was the one that was late. I never gave you a time frame.
Entonces él dice, no me culpes a mí, Saúl, porque yo nunca te di un tiempo.
And Saul goes, yeah, well, my troops were getting tired and they needed me to get back to the camp and I just couldn't have waited any longer.
Y Saúl dice, sí, pero pues el ejército ya se estaba cansando y ya no podían esperar más, teníamos que regresar al campamento.
Just a big, huge blame game with Saul, never taking responsibility for his actions, always blaming it on somebody else.
Echa la culpa en otras personas, nunca toma la responsabilidad por sí mismo.
Well, God, if you would have responded and answered my prayer, I would have been obedient. If you would have done this, God, the blame game that we play sometimes, this is what Saul is doing.
A veces este juego jugamos nosotros también con Dios. Decimos, Dios, pues si tú me hubieras contestado a la petición más temprano, no hubiera hecho esto, no hubiera desobedecido.
God, if you would provide more money, I would tithe. God, if you would answer my prayers, I start praying more.
Dios, si tú provees más dinero, entonces ya puedo diezmar. Dios, si tú contestas mis oraciones, entonces yo puedo orar más.
So number four.
Número cuatro.
Traits of toxic people.
Oh, aquí las características de gente tóxica.
Saul expected everyone's goals to align with his plan.
Saúl esperaba que las metas de los demás se alineen con sus propias metas.
One time, like Saul normally does, he gets into this battle with enemy forces.
Una vez Saúl, como él normalmente lo hacía, entra en una batalla con un enemigo.
He gets into this battle because of his anger, because he wants revenge on these enemies.
Él entra a esta batalla porque está enojado, él quiere venganza sobre estos enemigos.
And after their first battle and the heat dies down a little bit and they're taking a break.
Y después de esta batalla y que ya se calman todos un poco más y tienen un receso.
Where the Israelites were camped, there was a lot of honeycomb, honey, right, that they could eat.
Donde estaban los israelitas había mucha miel.
That could have given them energy or fuel to help them have energy in the next ensuing battle for his soldiers.
Que podían darles más energía, comida para que ellos podrían tener más energía para la siguiente batalla.
However, Saul goes, "Hey, no one is eating any honey. No one's eating anything until we defeat every single one of those enemies."
Pero Saúl dice, "Nadie va a comer ninguna miel. Nadie va a comer nada hasta que podamos derrotar a los enemigos."
And Saul tells everyone, "Hey, if you eat anything before we defeat those enemies, I'm going to ask God to curse you."
Y Saúl dice, "Si ustedes se comen miel antes de derrotar a los enemigos, le voy a decir a Dios que los maldiga."
Again, if you don't feel the same way I do, Saul saying, if you don't hate them as much as I hate them,
si no los odian como yo los odio,
then it's a sign of disloyalty.
Entonces es una señal deslealtad.
If you didn't hate the enemy as much as Saul did, if your goals didn't align with his, it was a sign of disloyalty. You were being disloyal to the king.
Si tus metas no se alineaban con Saúl, entonces ya fuiste desleal al rey.
You ever meet those people, whether it's friends, boyfriend, because they have beef with somebody, now you have to have beef with them just because they did?
¿Has conocido a esa gente que a lo mejor porque ellos están enojados con alguien, ahora tú tienes que estar enojado también con esa persona?
Just because that business supports certain things, and you're like, oh, I'm boycotting that business. You're like, well, I don't even have a problem with them.
O porque un negocio apoya unas cosas y decimos, ay, ya no voy a estar ahí, pero ni tenemos un problema con el negocio.
Well, it turns out that
pues,
Saul's son...
Pues sucede que el hijo de Saúl
wasn't there when Saul made that decree that no one could eat anything.
No estaba ahí cuando Saúl había hecho ese mandato que nadie podía comerse nada.
So then Saul's son comes up sometime later to the camp and he's like, "Oh, honeycomb, honey, yummy," and he starts eating.
Entonces el hijo de Saúl llega al campamento y dice, "Wow, hay miel," y empieza a comerse la miel.
And the soldiers are like, "Ooh, like your dad's going to get you in trouble, right?"
Y los soldados dicen, "Ooh, tu papá se va a enojar contigo."
And Jonathan, the son, is like, "Why? What do you mean? What are you talking about?"
Y el hijo Jonathan dice, ¿Qué sucede? ¿De qué están hablando?
And the soldiers tell him, "Hey, your dad said if anyone eats before the enemy is destroyed, God is going to curse them."
Y los soldados le dicen, "Tu papá dijo que si alguna persona se comiera la miel antes de derrotar al enemigo, entonces Dios los iba a maldecir."
And Jonathan, he's probably thinking, "Like my dad really said that. My dad's that crazy."
Y Jonathan dice, "Ay sí, como que si mi papá realmente dijo eso, está loco así."
Well, sure enough.
Pero sí.
When Saul finds out.
Cuando Saúl se da cuenta.
He goes, "Well, son, I said what I said. It looks like I'm going to have to kill you because you disobeyed my orders."
Le dice, "Hijo, pues es real. Lo que yo dije, yo lo dije. Y hijo, voy a tener que matarte porque tú desobedeciste las órdenes."
And Saul was about to murder his son over honey.
y Saúl estaba a punto de matar a su hijo sobre miel.
Over honey, he was about to kill his son.
Por miel estaba a punto de matar a su hijo.
If your views, if your goals don't align with my goals, it's a sign of disloyalty.
Si tus metas no se alinean con mis metas, eso es una señal de deslealtad.
So finally, the soldiers, as Saul is about to kill his son, the soldiers speak up and be like, Saul, you can't do this. I don't care if you kill me, you cannot kill your son over this.
Y los soldados finalmente hablan y dicen, Saúl, no puedes hacer esto para a tu hijo.
These soldiers, they have this righteous justice, right? They buck up to Saul, like, I don't even care if you fire me from the army. I don't care what happens. You can't be doing this, Saul. This is not right.
Y los soldados tienen ese sentido de justicia y dicen, Saúl, ¿sabes qué? No puedes hacer esto. Y levanta la voz.
And you know Saul is wrong because he doesn't even try and fight it. He's like, you know what? My bad. That was a little crazy, guys. My bad.
Y tú sabes que Saúl estaba en lo mal porque él después dice, ¿sabes qué? Sí, estuvo mal eso, yo estoy loco.
Which is point number five.
Que es punto número cinco.
Saul only apologizes when he fears he's losing or has already lost. He knows he's wrong.
Saúl solamente pide perdón cuando él teme que está perdiendo o ya ha perdido.
You know these toxic people in your life that only apologize after they've been put so far into a corner it's undeniable that they lost.
Esta gente tóxica que a lo mejor en tu vida que ya están puesta en una están tantos en una esquina que han perdido y no pueden hacer nada porque ya han perdido.
It's undeniable they lost the argument. It's undeniable that they're wrong.
Que no podemos negar que están mal, que han perdido.
And their apology at that point, it doesn't even mean anything because you're like, you're not saying that because you think you're wrong. You're just saying that because you're now so far in a corner you can't get out.
Y empiezan a pedir perdón, pero tú sabes que ahora nomás están pidiendo perdón porque ya no tienen una salida.
Relationship advice, not just in your boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, friendship advice, family, say sorry quickly.
Y un consejo de relaciones, ya sea una relación romántica o con tus amistades, pide perdón rápido.
Say sorry quickly before you're back in the corner. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Say sorry quickly.
Pide perdón rápido antes de que tú estés en una esquina.
Number six.
Número seis.
People like Saul always take what God says and change it to make it benefit them.
Gente como Saúl siempre toma lo que Dios ha dicho y lo cambian para que les beneficie.
So in a separate instance.
En otra ocasión.
God tells Saul, hey, go and take this other city, and when you take that city, destroy everything. The people, kill the cattle, everything that's living, wipe them out.
Dios le dice, ve a esta otra nación, a esta otra ciudad, y cuando llegues, destruye todo lo que está ahí.
Well, Saul wins, he kills all the people. However,
Saúl gana, él mata a toda la gente, pero
he keeps all the cattle, because the cattle back then was worth money. That was like how you identified someone as being wealthy, the cattle.
Él se queda con los animales porque en ese entonces los animales significaban dinero, riquezas. Entonces, él se quedó con esos animales.
Saul keeps all these cattle, disobeying God, and then the prophet Samuel shows up again and is like, Saul, what are you doing?
Saúl se queda con todos estos animales y el profeta Samuel viene otra vez y le dice, Saúl, ¿qué haces?
What are you doing? You made this monument of yourself?
¿Qué haces? ¿Hiciste esta imagen para ti mismo?
Saul made a little statue of himself.
Él había hecho una estatua de sí mismo.
He goes, what are you doing, Saul? God said to kill all these cattle. What are the cattle still doing alive? What are you doing?
¿Qué estás haciendo, Saúl? Dios dijo que tú destruyeras todo y los animales siguen vivos. ¿Qué haces?
And Saul goes, well, Samuel, you know, we didn't kill them because we wanted to keep a little bit, but we're going to sacrifice the best cattle to God. So it's kind of like a win-win.
Y Saúl dice, ¿sabes qué? Es que vamos a tomar los mejores animales y vamos a sacrificarlos a Dios.
So again, he did what God says, but he changed it to the point where it benefits him, right? I get to keep the cattle, I get a little bit richer, I get a little bit wealthier.
Entonces, él hizo lo que Dios le había hecho, pero luego también lo cambió un poco para que pudiera beneficiarse a sí mismo.
And we try and justify things like, well, I'm going to sacrifice to God. Well, I'm going to tithe it. Well, I'm still going to give God this.
Y decimos, ay, pues lo voy a sacrificar a Dios. Ay, pero lo voy a diezmar.
Right, we bargain with God in this way. Like God's asking you to forgive a certain person. You're like, well, I'll talk to them, you know, next week when I see them in person.
Y negociamos con Dios y cuando Dios te dice, oye, habla con esta persona y tú dices, ¿sabes qué? Hablo con ellos la siguiente semana.
Well, God, you're asking me to do this, but, you know, I'm going to put that off till later. Or, God, I'm going to do it this way. Or, God, I'm going to do it that way.
Dios, me estás pidiendo hacer una cosa, pero ¿sabes qué? Lo voy a hacer más tarde o lo quiero hacer de esta manera.
We manipulate God's words. Saul manipulates God's words to benefit himself.
Manipulamos la palabra de Dios. Manipulamos lo que Dios había dicho. Saúl manipuló lo que Dios había dicho para poder beneficiarse a sí mismo. mismo.
And I just want to give you a reminder that partial obedience is disobedience.
Y quiero recordarte que la desobediencia, la obediencia parcial es desobediencia.
Kind of comes with being God or a Lord, right? You do it or you don't.
Viene con siendo un Dios o Señor, ¿lo haces o no?
You do it His way or you don't do it at all.
¿Lo haces de su manera o no lo haces?
Those are the choices you have. You can choose not to follow Him, you can choose not to do what He says, but if you do choose to do what He says,
esas son las opciones. Puedes escoger hacer lo que Él dice o lo que no, o no hacer lo que Él dice.
You do it His way.
Pero si tú escoges hacerlo de su manera, de su opción, lo haces de su manera.
Number seven.
Número siete.
Saul cares more about the image and optics than he cares about his connection with God.
Le importa más a Saúl su imagen que su conexión con Dios.
Toxic people care more about how they're perceived than they care about the people that they're in relationship with.
La gente tóxica le importa más su imagen, cómo la gente los ve, que realmente la gente.
So Samuel, after all this has taken place,
entonces Samuel, después de todo, de que todo esto ocurrió,
after God tells Samuel, I am sorry I ever made Saul king. He has been disloyal. He has not honored my commandments.
Después de que Dios dijo, lamento haber hecho Saúl rey. Él no ha sido leal. Él ha desobedecido mis mandamientos.
Samuel goes up to Saul.
Samuel va a Saúl.
And he's like, Saul, I don't know how to tell you this, but God is, he's firing you.
Y Samuel le dice, Saúl, no sé cómo decirte esto, pero Dios te está corriendo.
You're still going to get to be king, but he's firing you from his presence. He's not going to be with you anymore.
Tú vas a seguir siendo rey, pero Dios ahora te está corriendo de su presencia. Ya no va a estar contigo.
God has told me that he's removing his spirit, his presence from your life. You're not going to ever feel him again. You're not going to have his guidance.
Dios dijo que él iba a remover su presencia de ti mismo. Ya no vas a tener su guianza, ya no vas a tener su presencia.
And Saul,
y Saúl,
goes, okay, can you at least walk out with me out of the palace so everyone thinks we're still cool, like nothing happened?
Y Saúl dice, bueno, está bien, pero puedes como quieras salir conmigo afuera del palacio para que la gente pueda ver que como
estamos
bien.
You can read this in chapter 15. Saul goes, okay, can you at least walk out with me so the people think everything is okay, so the people think I'm still this cool guy.
En el capítulo 15 él dice, como quiera puedes tú caminar conmigo para que la gente pueda ver que como quiera soy este hombre.
Has no remorse that, oh my God, God's not going to be with me. Can you imagine?
No tiene ninguna lástima. Ay, no, Dios no va a estar conmigo. Puedes imaginarte.
Can you imagine if you walked out of this building tonight and you never experienced God's presence again, you never heard the Holy Spirit again for the rest of your life?
Puedes imaginarte salir de este de la iglesia y tú ya nunca poder sentir la presencia de Dios, nunca poder sentir el Espíritu Santo sobre tu vida.
God said, I'm never going to help you again with any one of your problems, any one of your stresses, any one of your doubts, nothing.
Que Dios diga, ya no te voy a ayudar con tus problemas, ya no voy a ayudar con tus ansiedades, ya no voy a ayudar con tus necesidades, nada.
You're fired.
Estás corrido.
Fired from my presence.
Corrido de mi presencia.
None of us would be okay with that.
Ninguno de nosotros estaríamos bien con eso.
If God ever told you that you would do everything you can, you would pray and worship as much as you could.
Si Dios te diría eso, tú vas a orar lo más fuerte posible.
To try and make up with God, to try and get back in His presence. None of us would be okay with that.
Para poder reconciliarte con Dios, para poder regresar a su presencia, ninguno de nosotros estaremos bien con eso.
But Saul, he doesn't even care. He's more concerned about what the people think of him. He's more concerned about his image.
Pero Saúl no le importa. Él está más preocupado con lo que dice la gente. Está más preocupado por su imagen.
Than the connection he has with God.
Que la conexión que él tenía con Dios.
There are some people in your life that are more concerned with their image than they care about the connection or the relationship or the friendship that they have with you.
Hay más gente en tu vida que a lo mejor les importa más su imagen que realmente una relación contigo.
Watch out for those people.
Fíjate, cuidado con esa gente.
And what scares me so much about Saul.
Y lo que me teme de Saúl.
Is because Saul was this very toxic, horrible person when it came to obeying God and being king.
Saúl era una persona horrible y tóxica cuando se era rey.
And what confused me was in the Bible. We read it. It's on your paper.
Y lo que me confundió en la Biblia, puedes leerlo en tu papel.
God says, I'm going to make you an entirely new person. I'm going to give you a brand new heart. I'm going to change your life from this moment forward.
Dios le había dicho, yo te voy a dar un nuevo corazón. Te voy a cambiar tu vida completamente de este momento en adelante.
And my thing is, if God gave Saul a new heart, he became this new person. Why is he acting like this? Why is he acting so immature, so manipulative, so toxic?
Y lo que me pregunto es que si Dios le había dado a Saúl un nuevo corazón, ¿por qué se convirtió en esta persona tan tóxica?
And the only conclusion I could come up with,
y la conclusión que yo puedo ver,
that even though God gave Saul a new heart, this new life, this opportunity,
es que aunque Dios le dio a Saúl este nuevo corazón, una nueva oportunidad, una nueva vida,
even though God gave Saul these things, Saul didn't receive it.
Aunque Dios le dio estas cosas a Saúl, Saúl no las recibió.
God, thank you for the new heart, thank you for the joy, thank you for all these things, but I like my anger too much.
Dios, gracias por este nuevo corazón. Dios, gracias por este gozo. Gracias, Dios, por todo esto. Pero, ¿sabes qué? Yo prefiero mi enojo mejor.
God, thank you for the new heart and the new life and the new start and everything, but I like my addiction a little bit too much.
Dios, gracias por el nuevo corazón, por el nuevo comienzo, por esta nueva oportunidad. Pero, ¿sabes qué? Me gusta más mi adicción.
God, thank you for all these different things. Thank you for this, thank you for that. Thank you for the new start, the new relationships and the better friendships, but
Dios, gracias por todas estas cosas nuevas, estas nuevas relaciones, amistades, todo esto, pero
I'm going to hold on to the bitterness. I'm going to hold on to the unforgiveness. I'm not ready to quite change, even though I'm still doing things in your name.
Pero voy a quedarme con la amargura, voy a quedarme con el enojo, voy a quedarme como quiera con todo esto, aunque estoy haciendo las cosas en tu nombre.
And so this is what's scary to me about Saul, because a lot of us are in this position and we don't even know it.
Es lo que me asusta esto de Saúl, porque también muchos de nosotros estamos a lo mejor en esta posición y ni lo sabemos.
Because God has given you the opportunity, God has given you the freedom to get out of so many things in your life, so many things that you're dealing with.
Donde Dios te ha dado la oportunidad para salirte de muchas cosas en tu vida.
But a lot of times we don't receive it because it's just more comfortable to stay where we're at.
Pero muchas de las veces no lo recibimos porque estamos más cómodos donde estamos nosotros ahora.
And so those are some of the obvious things that we can see in Saul, all these seven things that we talked about.
Y estas son las cosas obvias que podemos ver en Saúl.
But
pero
it's easy to hate Saul, it's easy to criticize him.
Es fácil criticar a Saúl.
When he's at a distance. When we read it in this book that was written thousands of years ago, it's easy to hate on him from a distance, right? From far away.
Es fácil verlo esto y es fácil hablar mal de él a la distancia.
It's very difficult to hate on people from a distance, from very far away.
Es difícil odiar a la gente por a una distancia.
It's easy to hate people on social media, celebrities, different things like that. We don't know them. They're at a distance. All we see is pictures and clips, and I'm not saying some of them don't do stupid stuff. I'm just saying it's easy to hate people from far away.
Es fácil odiar a la gente de lejos, a la gente en las redes sociales. No que no han hecho nada malo, pero es fácil hacerlo.
But it's very difficult to hate someone when you're up close, when you know them.
Pero es más difícil odiar a la gente que está más cercana a ti cuando tú los conoces.
And let's talk about two things that maybe aren't as obvious, that are maybe a little bit more difficult to see why Saul was so toxic. And maybe it'll give us more empathy.
Vamos a hablar de dos cosas que son difíciles a veces de ver en Saúl porque era tan tóxico y a lo mejor nos da un poco de empatía.
It'll give us more empathy as to feeling compassion for Saul, not excusing what he did, because what he did was wrong, but at least having a little bit more understanding and compassion for this guy.
No para poder excusar lo que él había hecho, sino para poder tener un poco más de compasión para Saúl.
Number one.
Número uno.
Saul never saw himself the way God saw him.
Saúl nunca se vio a sí mismo como Dios lo vio.
You want to be toxic spiritually? Refuse to see yourself the way God sees you.
Quieres ser tóxico espiritualmente, no te veas de la forma que Dios te ve.
Saul, who's this handsome guy, built like a soldier, looks like a king.
Saúl, este hombre que era muy guapo, muy atractivo, se ve como rey alto.
Has all these things going for him.
Tiene todas esas cosas buenas en él.
But because he didn't see himself the way God saw him.
Pero porque él no se vio a sí mismo como Dios lo vio.
Because he didn't agree with God about the assignment that God had given him.
Porque él no estaba de acuerdo con Dios con la tarea que él había dado.
It ruined his life.
Arruinó su vida.
And how sad.
Y qué triste.
You all know people in our lives that they have so much potential. They're such a good person. They have so much talent.
Conocemos a tanta gente a lo mejor en nuestras vidas que tiene tanto potencial, son una buena persona, tienen tanto talento.
But they don't see it in themselves, they don't believe in themselves, they don't see themselves the way you might see them.
Pero no lo ven en sí mismo, no creen en sí mismos, no se ven a sí mismos como tú lo ves.
Same thing with what's happening with Saul. He refused to see himself the way God saw him.
Igual en Saúl, él no pudo verse a sí mismo como Dios lo veía.
And after Saul did all these things,
de que Saúl hizo
and God removed
cosas,
his presence.
Y Dios quitó su presencia.
Said, Saul, I'm never going to guide you again. I'm never going to talk to you again. You're never going to experience my presence again.
Saúl, nunca vas a experimentar mi presencia. Ya no vas a ser guiado por mí.
No wonder he was irritable.
Por eso él caía mal.
No wonder he was under such torment constantly.
Por eso él estaba tan atormentado constantemente.
No wonder he had anger problems. No wonder he was impulsive. No wonder he was manipulative and all these things. No wonder.
Por eso él tenía era impulsivo. Por eso él tenía tanto enojo. Por eso.
Because after God removed his presence, that's all you can be because he never saw himself the way God saw him.
Porque después de que Dios quitó su presencia sobre él, es todo lo que se miraba porque él no pudo verse de la forma que Dios lo miraba.
Number two.
Y número dos.
Saul is very insecure.
Saúl es muy inseguro.
Now insecurity
ahora, la inseguridad
is a root issue.
Es un problema.
People that are manipulative, people that are liars, that are cheaters, it's all the root issue, it's all the result, the fruit of insecurity.
Es una raíz, la gente que es mentirosa, la gente que es infiel, todo esto está en la raíz, que es la inseguridad.
So all the symptoms that we talked about, him with his anger problems, being irritable, him being manipulative, those are all symptoms, but the root is that Saul is insecure.
Entonces, todos esos problemas que hablábamos de Saúl, los síntomas de que él estaba enojado, él era impulsivo, el enojón, todo esto está en la raíz, que es la inseguridad.
It doesn't matter how handsome he is on the outside, how much he looks the part, how much his image is good, the inward insecurity crippled him.
No importa qué tan bueno se miraba por fuera, pero la inseguridad que él tenía adentro lo tenía atado.
And you know he's insecure because when the public declaration happened that God was naming him king, he was hiding.
Y tú sabes que él era inseguro porque cuando él fue anunciado como rey al público, él se escondió.
The tallest dude was hiding with the baggage, with the luggage.
El hombre más alto se estaba escondiendo con el equipaje.
The tallest dude in the line. This would be like LeBron James trying to hide behind this piano, right? It just doesn't work.
El hombre más alto sería como LeBron James intentando de esconderse detrás de este piano. No funciona.
Because he can handle the private anointing, but he's so insecure that publicly, when this is made, he can't handle it. He's like, there's no way.
Él puede con la unción privada, pero cuando él lo hace público, él dice, no puedo.
I can see him right when the ceremony starting, right, and he goes and hides right under the luggage.
Está comenzando la ceremonia y lo puedo ver que él está ahí escondido abajo del equipaje.
And Samuel's doing his thing, and now the tribe of Benjamin.
Y ahora Samuel dice, de la tribu de Benjamín.
And Saul's like, crap, it's happening, like it's starting.
Y Saúl dice, ay no, ya está sucediendo.
And he's like, all right, the family of Kish.
Dice la familia de Cis.
Saul's like, oh my God.
Y Saul dice, ay no.
And then finally, Saul selected, and no one can find Saul.
Y finalmente Saúl es escogido y nadie puede encontrar a Saúl.
Because he's insecure.
Porque es inseguro.
Also crazy that he hid so well that they had to ask God, like, God, where's Saul? And God had to tell him where they're at.
Tan loco que él tenía, estaba tan escondido, tan bien escondido que hasta Dios tuve que decirle a la gente donde él estaba escondido.
Saul was insecure, and there's a difference between being insecure and being humble.
Saúl estaba inseguro y una cosa muy diferente entre ser inseguro y ser humilde.
Being humble, saying, God, I don't know why you chose me, but I'm going to do the best with what you've given me, with this call in my life. I don't see it, but I'm going to do the very best with what you've given me.
Ser humilde es decirle a Dios, Dios, yo no sé por qué me escogiste, yo no sé por qué me diste este llamado, pero voy a hacer lo que tú me das.
Insecurity is more like, God, I don't know why you chose me, and in every moment I'm going to prove to you why you shouldn't have chosen me.
Pero la inseguridad le dice a Dios, Dios, no sé por qué me escogiste, pero en cada momento te voy a recordar que no me deberías de haber escogido.
And so Paul is this insecure person.
Entonces Saúl, este hombre inseguro.
He's this insecure person.
Es esta persona insegura.
Who never saw himself the way God saw him.
Que nunca se vio como Dios lo vio.
Pain did this to Saul.
El dolor hizo esto a Saúl.
Hurt did this to Saul.
El dolor le hizo esto a Saúl.
And so the question.
Entonces la pregunta es.
Is okay, what do we do when we recognize Sauls in our life, toxic people in our life?
Es que hacemos cuando reconocemos a gente como Saúl en nuestras vidas, la gente tóxica.
Last two points and then we're going to get out of here.
Los últimos dos puntos.
Number one, when you have a Saul, when you have a toxic person in your life,
número uno, cuando tienes una persona tóxica en tu vida,
you have to create distance.
Tienes que crear distancia.
after Saul,
después de que Saul
had departed from God's presence and he never experienced him again, and he was going insane, he was getting more and more crazy, angry, dealing with all these things because God wasn't with him.
Se fue de la presencia de Dios y ahora estaba lidiando con tantas cosas porque Dios ya no estaba con él.
He gets jealous of David killing Goliath because people were starting to follow David more than they were Saul because he was getting all this attention.
Él ahora está celoso de David porque David había matado a Goliath y ahora David tiene toda esta atención.
Got so jealous to the point that Saul has tried many times, three times, to have David killed.
Tan celoso que Saúl tres veces intenta de matar a David.
Keep in mind that David has married Saul's daughter. This is Saul's son-in-law. He tries to have David killed three times.
David a este punto ya se había casado con la hija de Saúl. Entonces Saúl intenta de matarlo.
Right, and then David, recognizing the toxicity, recognizing that Saul is going insane, recognizing a Saul in his life.
Pero David reconociendo que cómo era Saúl, qué tan tóxico era que tenía él en su vida.
Leaves the palace, just leaves, goes off into the desert, into the wilderness to get away from everything.
Él se va del palacio, él huye y corre al desierto.
You don't have to pray about leaving toxic people.
Tú no tienes que orar en dejar ir a gente tóxica.
You don't have to pray about keeping your distance from Sauls in your life.
No tienes que orar para mantener una distancia entre ti y otros Sauls en tu vida.
If somebody is killing you emotionally, if someone is killing you mentally,
si alguien te está matando emocionalmente, si alguien te está matando mentalmente,
you don't have to pray about, well, should I still date them? Should I still be friends? You don't have to pray about it. Get out of there. Run.
No tienes que orar por ello, no tienes que decir, ay, debería de quedarme con ellos, ay, debería de ser su amigo. No, corre.
Well, God, you know, if you want us to be together, you know, maybe he'll change. Give me a sign, God, that, you know, we should still be together.
Ay, Dios, si tú quieres que estemos juntos como quiera, él va a cambiar. Dame una señal que él va a cambiar, que estaremos juntos.
What sign do you need? To be killed? You don't need to pray about that. Run from Sauls. Keep your distance. Doesn't matter if they're family, doesn't matter if they're friends, and especially if you're in a relationship, keep your distance.
¿Qué señal ocupas si te va a causar daño? Mantén tu distancia, ya sea familia, ya sea amigos, especialmente si es una relación.
You don't have to pray about Sauls in your life. Get out of there.
No tienes que orar sobre los Sauls en tu vida. Salte de ahí.
Number two, you guys can go ahead and stand.
Número dos, pueden ponerse.
After you create distance, you have to create boundaries.
Después de crear distancia, tienes que crear límites.
Boundaries with toxic people.
Límites con personas tóxicas.
After Saul tried to kill David and David ran away and created distance.
Después de que Saúl intentó de matar a David y David creó esta distancia.
Saul reaches out to David through a messenger.
Saúl llama la atención de David por un mensajero.
And Saul tells David, "Hey man, I'm sorry. I was wrong for trying to kill you. That was super messed up of me. Here's your spear. I apologize."
Y Saúl dice, ¿sabes qué? Te pido perdón. No hubiera hecho eso. Estoy mal. Aquí te doy tu espada.
Why don't you come back to the country, to the palace? I apologize. I'm different now. Things are going to be different. I was wrong.
¿Por qué no regresas al palacio? ¿Por qué no regresas acá con nosotros? Voy a cambiar, las cosas van a ser diferentes.
And David goes, "Nah, I'm not going back to the palace. In fact, why don't you have a soldier, a third party, deliver the stuff, deliver my spear, deliver my gear to me? I don't want to face you face to face."
David dice, "No, ¿sabes qué? No voy a regresarme al palacio porque no mandas a otra persona, una tercera persona para que me pueda entregar mis armas."
Right, to the people, to the boyfriend, to the girlfriend, to the friends in your life, you know what? I've changed. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. My bad on that. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for trying to kill you emotionally, mentally.
Para la gente en tu vida que a lo mejor dice, "Ay, perdóname, no hubiera hecho eso. Perdón porque te dañé emocionalmente, perdón porque te dañé mentalmente, perdón porque te intenté matarte de esta forma.
I'm sorry for being manipulative. I'm sorry for the lying. I'm sorry for all these different things.
Perdón por manipularte, perdón por las mentiras, perdón por todo esto.
I'm sorry for not being there." And David goes, "You know what? It's all good, Saul. I accept your apology, and your apology is valid."
David le dice a Saúl, "¿Sabes qué, Saúl? Está bien, yo acepto tu perdón."
"But you're still toxic, so I'm not getting close to you again. There's boundaries that are now set up."
Pero tú como quieras eres tóxico y tengo que mantener mi distancia. Ahora hay límites que yo tengo que poner.
And so tonight, there's two questions I have, because you're going to fall into one of two categories.
Entonces, esta noche tengo dos preguntas, porque tú vas a identificarte con una de estas dos categorías.
Either one, I've been preaching, and you can think of some Sauls off the top of your head that you can think of that you have on your Instagram feed or that you have at school.
O a lo mejor aquí tú puedes identificar a gente en tu vida que es como Saúl, que tú sabes que están en tu escuela, en las redes sociales.
And you need to apply this word with these last two points. You're like, I need to run. I need to set up some boundaries. I need to cut this person out of my life.
Y tienes que hacer como estos dos puntos. Tienes que crear distancia, tienes que crear límites, tienes que sacarlos de tu vida.
It doesn't matter if they're my father-in-law. It doesn't matter if they're my family, my friend, my boyfriend, girlfriend. These people are toxic like Saul, and I need to cut them out of my life to be healthier.
Sean familiares, sean amigos, sea un novio o una novia, tengo que cortar a esa gente de mi vida para poder yo estar saludable.
And then the other half of you,
y la otra mitad de ti,
which I'm not calling any of you guys toxic, but all of us have a little bit of toxicity in us.
Que no estoy llamando a ninguno de nosotros aquí tóxicos, pero todos aquí a lo mejor tenemos un poco de tóxico nosotros.
And you maybe not have thought of another person, but maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of some of these areas where you're like, you know what? You need to work on this.
A lo mejor no has pensado en otra persona, pero a lo mejor el Espíritu Santo te está trayendo convicción porque él dice tú tienes que trabajar en esto.
You know what, Josiah, you struggle with Saul in insecurity. You're insecure in this area, and it's affecting this area of your life.
¿Sabes qué? A lo mejor estás batallando con inseguridad en una área y está afectando tu vida.
Maybe you're in here and you're like Saul, and you're like, God, I haven't been seeing myself the way you see me.
Quizás está aquí y te dices como Saúl, Dios, no me he visto a mí mismo como tú me ves.
And there's things God wants to do in you, like Saul. God wanted to bless Saul, use Saul so much.
Dios quería bendecir y usar a Saúl tanto.
Just like God wants to do so many incredible things in you guys this year in 2024, He wants to bless you so much.
Así como Dios quiere hacer cosas grandes en ti, quiere bendecirlos a ustedes.
But don't hinder yourself this year because you don't see yourself the way God sees you. You see yourself as less than. You see yourself as lowly.
Pero no te detengas porque tú te ves a ti mismo como menos.
So the other part of this altar call is, God, I want to see myself the way you see me, as a proud son, daughter of the King.
Entonces la otra parte de este llamado es para esa gente que tiene que decir, Dios, quiero verme como tú me ves, como un hijo, como una hija del rey.
And you're like, God, I don't want to have all these fruit like Saul had of anger issues, manipulative, all these different things because I'm insecure, because I don't see myself the way you see me. I don't want to miss out on your blessings, on your plan, because I didn't see myself the way you see me.
No quiero tener todo esto que tenía Saúl de enojo, de rencor. No quiero perderme de tu bendición porque no me vi de la forma que tú me miraste.
And so I'm preaching this message as a warning because I know God wants to bless you and I know God wanted to bless Saul.
Entonces yo predico este mensaje como una precaución porque yo sé que Dios quiere bendecirte. Yo sé que Dios quería bendecir a Saúl.
But I don't want us to mess up. I don't want us to fumble the way Saul did.
Pero no quiero que nosotros caigamos igual como Saúl.
So let's go ahead and pray. God, I pray for all these youth in here. Lord, there's so many of them, God, that you have such big plans for this year. Not just this year, in their life, God. And God, a lot of them, because it's normal, because it's human nature, a lot of them don't see themselves the way you see them. God, how proud you are of them, how much talent, how much ability, how much potential they have. A lot of them don't see themselves the way you see them. Maybe they feel unworthy of your love, unworthy of your salvation, unworthy of your blessings, unworthy of your provision, unworthy of that job, unworthy of that relationship, unworthy of... But God, I pray that as the blessings start to come in this year, day by day, week by week, month by month, that Lord, our students in here would see themselves the way you see them. That every day, God, as they pray, every day, God, as they read their word, as they worship you, as they come into church weekly, that they would see themselves the way you see them. To receive all the blessings that you have, to not fall in the same way that Saul did, that couldn't handle the blessings, that couldn't handle those things. God, I pray over their insecurities. God, a lot of young people, including myself, struggle with different areas in their life where they're insecure. Where they feel they're not capable, where they feel they're not enough in this certain area of their life. But God, I pray that you would remind them that you're more than enough. Remind them, God, that their insecurity doesn't mean weakness, that God, you're there to sustain them. You're here to help them in that weakness. You're here to help them in that area, that God, there's a difference between being humble and being insecure. So God, I pray that as you pour out blessings this year, that Lord, these youth would see themselves the way you see them. And God, for some of these youth in here that need to cut out some Sauls in their life, that need to be like David, that need to put some distance in between them and these people, God, it's easier said than done, because we love people, we love our friends, we love our family, we're in relationship with them. But God, I pray that even though it's hard to do, it's going to be what's healthiest for them. And if they don't put some distance in between them and these people, if they don't set up boundaries and draw the line somewhere, God, it's going to end up killing them. It's going to end up hurting them. It's going to end up hurting their progress and their plans that you have for them. So God, I pray that as the altars open, that Lord God, we do some soul searching, that we'd be self-reflective right now. Let your Holy Spirit illuminate things in our lives, illuminate things in our heart, illuminate, God, different areas, God, that we need to cut out Sauls. So God, I pray that we'd be humble, but also bold enough to come up to this altar, bold enough to talk to you and say, God, I need help seeing myself the way you see me. I don't want to end up like Saul. I want all the blessings that you have for me this year. I want every single provision you have for me in my life. I never want to miss out. I never want to be expelled from your presence because I couldn't handle it, because I never aligned myself with how you see me. So God, we ask all these things in your name. Amen and amen.